I'm Mike Tolan, and I spend most of my professional time making movies or television shows or documentaries or digital shorts, acting most often as a producer, sometimes writer, sometimes director.
Mike Tolan's latest project is Kareem, A Minority of One. It debuted in November on HBO, but the producer, writer, director has had a long and varied career predominantly focused on one subject. I spoke with him earlier and asked him if he always knew that he wanted to tell stories about sports.
It's funny you asked that, Bill, because I had a mentor at Stanford, a journalism professor who'd previously been a New York Times writer. Leonard Coppett was his name, and he ended up in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. A terrific source of guidance for me in my early days. And he said, do you think you want to focus on sports? And I said, nah, it's just something I love. It's a passion. I'd like it to be a part of things, but certainly wouldn't want it to be exclusive. And he said to me, well, you better get out soon, because the longer you don't get out, the less likely it is that you'll ever get out. So here we are, thousands of years later.
Tolan and I began our conversation with his 1995 Peabody Award-winning documentary, Hank Aaron, Chasing the Dream. The voice you're going to hear is former baseball commissioner Bud Selig referencing a particular Aaron home run and the simultaneous stand against integration by Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus.
Isn't it a paradox that here you have a black man being carried off the field in victory celebration in Milwaukee, which he was, and you have this terrible, terrible scene in Little Rock, Arkansas, on the same day, on the same night?
Was it difficult to convince Henry Aaron to let you tell the story of his life as a chapter in the civil rights movement?
Well, it was difficult to convince Henry Aaron to sit with me and have a beer in a hotel in Atlanta, Georgia. I reached out, and it was as if I was looking for CIA clearance, references and credits and videotapes, and we met at the Ritz-Carlton, and I believe his beer of choice then was Löwenbräu. He had one only. I might have had two. I might have had some nerves going into that. It's interesting that you posed the question the way you did, because the reason I was able to break through and the reason that he was interested in working with me was because of the broader perspective. He made it very clear he wasn't interested in spending time going back and reliving the glory of trotting around the bases 755 times. It was really only about a broader story, a broader context.
Moving on in the same vein, how difficult was it to convince Kareem to do the documentary that you've recently done on him?
Even harder. There was definitely, okay, kid. Now, I haven't been called kid that much lately. But it was, all right, what do you got? I referenced the Hank Aaron film, and I talked about taking a professional athlete of extraordinary accomplishment and putting him in a broader context and telling a story that would have a greater resonance. And certainly with Kareem, that was going to be an essential.
It was like, hey, you play basketball, you're going to go play in the NBA and make a lot of money. What are you demonstrating about? It was offensive that they would think that because I had the opportunity possibly to play in the NBA that I shouldn't be concerned about the way black Americans are treated and the denial of our basic human rights.
I had forgotten until I watched the film how young he was when he became an activist. That must have been part of what attracted you to him.
It did indeed. He is as cerebral and self-aware, introspective, literary as any athlete, maybe more than any I've ever met. And he's always portrayed by his teammates as the guy who kept his nose in a book and wouldn't look up no matter what. One of my favorite quotes from the film, James Worthy said, you know, Kareem was just a different piece of toast, man. That speaks volumes.
Whatever that means.
Not too burnt. No, just well done.
Tolan and I also spoke about his 2009 documentary for ESPN's 30 for 30 on the short-lived but gloriously entertaining United States Football League.
So it was almost like you had to pinch yourself. It was almost, you know, too good to be true.
It was so good they charged the field and then you had mounted police. I mean, you don't get that anymore. That's in Hollywood.
It just looks as if the USFL was the most fun anybody ever could have had. Was that a triumph of editing, or did everybody involved, at least from a perspective of some years, feel that way?
Yeah, those were the years, 1983, 4, and 5, there was a spring football league called the USFL. And I felt like everybody was in on the joke, so to speak, except for one guy, who had a very different agenda. He came in and pronounced to the world, if God thought football should be played in the spring, he wouldn't have invented baseball. So why are you joining the party? You know, we didn't invite you, really.
This, of course, is Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. He played his hand, and ultimately he led the owners into a lawsuit against the NFL, which takes us back to the documentary. Every filmmaker's dream, the cameras are rolling and you get that guy right up to the boiling point and off he goes.
I don't agree with all of it. I really think the league could have stayed the course. It
would have been small potatoes. Have a good time.
Small potatoes. That's what we are, guys. Small potatoes.
That was when he decided he'd had just about enough and patted me patronizingly on the shoulder and walked out and said, small potatoes.
And you had your title.
Title frame. Thank you very much, Donald.
I wasn't shocked to learn that Donald Trump was an arrogant jerk as long ago as 30 years ago.
Well, you said it. I might have said it, but you beat me to it. You know, we're making a movie now called The Bleeder. The connection is the myth of Narcissus, right? The hunter from Greek mythology who looked in the pool and saw his reflection and thought it was real and fell in love with it and ends up drowning. And we're making this movie now called The Bleeder. Liev Schreiber plays Chuck Wepner, who in 1975 was plucked by Don King to just get in the ring and to be a contender for Muhammad Ali's heavyweight championship. And Chuck's thing was never about winning. It was just going 15 rounds. And little did anybody know then, but in Los Angeles, a young, aspiring, mostly out of work actor, writer, director, wannabe filmmaker named Sylvester Stallone watched this fight on closed circuit and said, aha, that's my story. That's my inspiration. That's Rocky. So we're telling this tale with Liev Schreiber playing Chuck Wepner about a guy who saw his reflection, went to see the movie, it won the Oscar, and decided, that's me, I'm Rocky. And every time he'd go to a bar in the Jersey Shore, they'd pluck in a quarter and they'd play the Rocky theme, and and there he was.
Well, you're bringing up my opportunity to tell my favorite Chuck Wepner story. I don't know whether the story is true or not, but I hope it's in the film. When Chuck Wepner finally got money enough so that he was actually going to be able to train for several weeks, which is an opportunity he'd never previously had. And after doing so, he believed he was going to beat Muhammad Ali, and he went to his wife and he said, wear your sexiest negligee tonight, sweetheart, because you're going to spend the night with a world champion. And then, of course, he came back to the hotel and stitches in his face and beaten to pieces, and she took one look at him and said, do I got to go to the champ's room, or is he coming here?
Good for you, Bill. Okay, it is in the film, but what color is the negligee?
I hope it's red.
It's funny. In an earlier draft, it was pink, but now it's blue. And it's a great story, and why worry about whether it's true or not, right?
Oh, you're a filmmaker after my own heart if you think that way.
This is a film based on or inspired by a true story, right?
Mike Tolan is, according to his publicist, one of the most prolific producers of sports-related content for documentaries, shorts, and scripted films, and I, for one, don't doubt it for a moment. Mike, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It was fun, Bill. Thanks.